speaking to the Lord the other day, or last week, I was coming back from Boston, and I was with a group of brothers, and they were listening to some messages and stuff, and long story short, I was cringing, because a lot of it was kind of like just principles and stuff like that, and it's like, Lord, it's lacking so much of you and relationship with you and all this stuff. So about a couple of days after that, I bought this book from someone, which I've been wanting to pick up from a few years ago. Anybody heard of Heidi Baker? Pretty sure everybody
yes,
has.
Sure.
No.
All right. I know you are.
Just eat
so,
your apple.
Her husband, Roland Baker, this book was written by his grandfather, great-grandfather, who used to be a missionary in the 1900s to China. And it's a book of supernatural encounters. They had an orphanage where they had all these like Chinese kids off the street. And out of the blue, from one day to another, the Holy Spirit just came down and started giving these kids, who were basically almost like non-believers or new converts, these visions and taking them to heaven and all this awesome supernatural stuff. So as I was reading like the introduction to the book, it was like, man, this is it. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, bro.
You feel me? Thank you. Can I get a testimony?
Hallelujah.
I left my handkerchief at home, sorry.
There you go. So, bring out the tambourine.
Don't get it started.
So anyway, so I was like, this is it. So I felt that the Lord wanted me to speak on this. So when I was trying to put it together, something together, wasn't panning out. I was like, So I said, all right, Holy Spirit, what the heck is going on here? Because I feel you want me to speak on this, but I'm not feeling it.
Oh, man.
So long story short, I've given you the long story. I felt that he wanted me to read directly these two pages from the book, which is what I was reading, which was like, this is it.
Yeah.
And within these two pages, there's like 6-7 verses here. And once we come upon each verse, we'll read the verse, and then we'll go into the activation of that verse.
Cool.
So that's why I'm reading straight from the book, because that's what I thought he wanted me to do.
Don't reinvent the wheel.
That's it. So anyway, I'm going to pick up from where the writer basically starts to say that, you know, they were kind of skeptic of these encounters at first because, you know, they had not experienced this before. So just to give you an understanding.
Excuse me, Juan, what's the name of the book?
Visions Beyond the Veil by H.A. Baker. So it says, at first, many of us were quite skeptic as these... Anyway, real quick, before I even go there. What was I going to say? The book here, or this, what I'm going to read, is basically most from verses from the New Testament, basically connecting to the power of the Holy Spirit and the New Church, the New Testament Church, the early Church, which is the only Church given to us as an example in the Bible. And I believe that the foundation that they laid was a foundation that each Church that came along, or, you know, group of believers is what I mean by the church, was supposed to build on that foundation that they had laid.
Amen.
As far as the supernatural and the workings of the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so now we let me read. At first, many of us were quite skeptic as these visions and revelations began to manifest. We approached the subject with many doubts and questions, but we were reminded that supernatural visions and revelations are the foundation upon which the church was established and upon which it stands. In fact, the very Bible itself, Old and New Testament, is a supernatural revelation from God. And please grab onto this. Again, because this is the example that's given to us in the Bible from the church, from the first church, as Russ said. From the birthing of the church, it was always a supernatural practice, encounters, revelations, release. And it's what we're supposed to do, as I said, you know, build upon that foundation that was already laid out for us. In the Old Testament, God often revealed his will to man by speaking through prophets, by direct inspiration. God revealed himself to man in dreams, in visions, and through various kinds of supernatural revelations. Angels brought messages to men and were continually active as God's ambassadors in carrying out his plan of redemption on earth. The Lord appeared to men and spoke to them in a voice and with words. He thus spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a man face to face, Exodus 33:11. So God, even in the Old Testament, spoke to Moses face to face and revealed himself that close, that direct. So how much more are we not supposed to be experiencing under the blood of Jesus? So the first verse, Exodus 33:11, let's declare over each other first. God speaks to me.
God speaks to me.
Face to face.
Face to face.
As a man would speak to a man.
As a man would speak to a man.
And now just take a quick minute or two to release that over each other. Declare that over each other, as we did last time. It says, likewise, much of the New Testament claims to be a supernatural revelation. Again, just the examples that were given to us from the early church. The working of the Holy Spirit, the power of God active in them and through them. Paul said of the gospel he preached, for I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ, Galatians 1:12. Amplified Version says, for indeed I did not receive it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through a direct revelation given by Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So again, we see Paul saying that his knowledge of the things he wrote about, right, that we have the scriptures, was not something that he learned of himself, was not something that he learned of a man, but it was Jesus himself giving it to him. Direct revelation from the throne room of heaven. So again, I want you to declare over each other that whoever you're declaring over receives revelation from God himself, from Jesus himself. So please release that over each other. When Herod wanted to destroy the baby Jesus, the wise men were warned of God in a dream. Matthew 2:12. And an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Matthew 2:13. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they departed to their own country by a different way. Now after they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up. Tenderly take unto you the young child with his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you otherwise, for Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him. Now, here, through dreams and revelation from angels, God sent angels to warn Joseph and to warn the three wise men. In the same manner, I want you to declare with each other that God gives you dreams and that he even sends his angels who are called to minister unto us to, you know, give you guidance, to give you direction, whether it's to warn you of coming danger or just to guide you in decisions that you need to make or looking for direction. So release that over each other, that God himself sends his ministering angels to you for direction and guidance, and that you receive dreams from the Lord and the interpretation of those dreams as well. Now again, I want you, as we're going through this, though it's very just basic and reading out of a book, I want you to go grab hold of the reality that this is what the church is supposed to be experiencing. This is not just you know, okay, it happened, it was them. But again, this is a foundation and an example laid out for us to build on and, you know, grow upon. Each foundation being a bigger example, bigger revelation, new things, greater things. So as we going through this, again, just grab hold of that, that this is for us today, that this is how you and I are supposed to walk. And this is what we are supposed to be experiencing as His church, as His body today. Here, when we go and leave these, you know, four doors, when we go back to work tomorrow, the barbecue tomorrow, whatever. Again, just grab hold of this and really let it sink in that this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you, even now, even today, even tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen? A man of Macedonia appeared to Paul in a vision. This is Acts 16, 8 through 10. I'm only going to read verse 9. There a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So here, you know, in case, let me just give you a quick background. Paul, right, he's has plans to go after God where, you know, to preach the gospel. And in the night, that night, a man from Macedonia appears to him in a vision and says, you know, come to us. We need help. So where Paul will say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go here and preach the gospel, which is a great thing. Supernaturally, the Lord gives him direction by allowing him to see this man who he did not know in a vision and say, no, come here. We need help. We, you know, clearly we want to hear this good news. I guess would be another way of saying it. So declare over each other that God gives you discernment and that God puts divine appointments in your path, that He speaks to you even in the night to release the gospel to those that are ready, to those that are hungry, and to the hearts that He has touched and are ready to receive it. So release that over each other.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Also in Acts 18:9 says that the Lord spoke at Corinth. The Lord spoke to him, meaning Paul, at night in a vision. And the scenario was that Paul was afraid for his life. You know, the Jews and they were threatening his life, and he was afraid for his life. So the Lord shows up to him in a vision. In Acts 18:9 it says, and one night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, have no fear, but speak and do not keep silent. So declare over each other that the Lord Himself appears to you and encourages you in your walk with Him.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Release it over each other.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Acts 22:17 talks about Paul. And again, take it in. This is just examples of the day of the regular life of the early church.
Yep.
You know, this is just like the book was saying, man, he was reminded that, wait, this is the lifestyle of the early church. And again, just take that in, that this is the example given to us. This is the church that God chose to put into the Bible and write about in the Bible and leave for us as an example. So take it in, because this is our heritage. This is our heritage, and this is what, you know, we look back and say, whoa, that's ours, you know, except to a greater extent. You know, it should have been built precept upon precept, you know, foundation upon foundation. So it's our job to take it and build upon all this that has been laid out for us already. Acts 22:17, it says, and speaking about Paul again, then when I had come back to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple enclosure, I fell into a trance, an ecstasy. So again, declare over each other that God speaks to you in visions, you know, in trances, that you have supernatural encounters, that He ushers you into heaven, into the throne room, Declare that over each other, because it's your heritage. It's Jesus paid for it to give it to you. So, in Acts 10, 1 through 3, we read about Cornelius, right? He was a Roman soldier. It appears that he was not saved, but the book of Acts says that him and his household later got saved and baptized. But yet somehow he knew of God, and he says he loved God, and he respected God. So an angel appears to him, a non-believer, and says, go call for Peter, because Peter's going to come and tell you what you need to hear, right, regarding God and salvation and all that. And at the same time, Peter, who's chilling out, working at his suntan up on the roof, right, waiting for lunch, falls into a trance, and God speaks to him in a vision about Cornelius,
right,
preparing him, because at that time they were only preaching the gospel to the Jews, and Cornelius being a non-Jew, so God came and spoke to him, preparing Peter as well, giving Peter direction and instructions to go back and say, yeah, this, I'm sending him to you, go back with him so you could preach to them as well. So declare that you see clearly in the spirit, that you have angels of God give you direction from heaven, and that God gives you direct instructions on who to preach and where to go to preach. Right? So declare that over each other. In closing, and again, grab hold of this is you. This is what the life of the believer is all about. Next time you read your scriptures, your Bible, expect something supernatural, because the whole book is a supernatural book.
Amen.
So expect something supernatural. Don't just read it as some pages in the Word, okay, it's the Word of God, but expect something supernatural next time you open and read the scriptures and study the scriptures. In closing, the whole book of Revelation was given to John as a supernatural revelation when he was in the Spirit. It is a revelation from the Lord who spoke to him in a great voice, and it is also a record of visions given in the Spirit and through the ministry of angels. So again, just next time you open up your Bible to study it, to read it, expect something supernatural.
Amen.
Good.
Visions Beyond the Veil by A. H. Baker.
Close enough.
What did I say?
All right, so listen. Pentecost was all about the tongues of fire and the wind and the release of the power of God and the Holy Spirit upon the church. And so what I want us to do right now is to just release the sound of many waters. Okay, I'm going to invite you to stand right now. Okay, and you can do this in the same groups that you were just in if you'd like to. But here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to release that. And I believe right now that the Lord is going to give increase. All right? You know what? How many of you realize that anytime you learn a language, that your vocabulary is supposed to increase? You're supposed to gain fluency. You're supposed to gain greater, you know, ability to say things in more ways, right? You learn more words. You know, we don't think about that when it comes to this. Heavenly language. But what I've learned is that my vocabulary will increase if I believe that and if I go for that. Okay? So I'm going to say this to you right now in Jesus' name, that as you begin to release that language, you're going to gain new words. You're going to gain new freedom and fluency in the Spirit to speak in even greater ways. And I want you to do that for a few moments. And then, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Lord for an interpretation of what you're saying for somebody in this room. Whether it's the people that you're by, or it could be anybody. But this is another thing that we haven't pressed into much. Lord, I want an interpretation of what I'm saying. Okay? Jackie's all over this one, let me tell you. All right? So come on, let's take a few minutes and let's just begin to pray. Thank you.